Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back to Late Night here on News Talk 830 WCCO. In the beginning of the week, we had an incident of an NBA player by the name of Myers Leonard on a social media gaming platform using an anti-Semitic slur. Now, it's drawn a lot of attention, condemned by both his team, the Miami Heat, and the league itself. And joining me now to give me some perspective on this story is Steve Hunnings, Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas. Thanks so much, Steve, for joining me tonight on the show.
Henry, it's a pleasure. Thank you for taking the time to discuss the issue. Anybody that is interested in such issues of our community and race relations and anti-Semitism and all the positive things you can do together and love sports is number one in my book, okay, Henry?
I hear you. And I wanted to start off by asking you, what was your initial reaction when you heard about this incident?
It's appalling, obviously. It completely lacks decency and decorum, to say the least. The good news is, as with the situation with DeSean Jackson, people have reached out and done the right thing. I think Julian Edelman's approach of let's have invited to Sabbath Shabbat dinner when he's down in Miami and trying to make something positive out of the situation is the right approach. I think about Zach Bonner and Cam Hayward from Steelers, you know, addressing the DeSean Jackson situation. And that, to me, indicates that within professional sports, basketball and football, and basketball in one instance, football in the other instance, that there's a certain element of responsibility and people wanting to do the right thing.
And Steve, I'm glad that you pointed that out, because I think that that matters. Because whenever an athlete comes out and says something derogatory, anti-Semitic, racist, any of the slurs or any of the actions, I think it's important, and I don't know where you stand on this, but I think it's important that other athletes stand up and voice their opinion and talk about that. Because in that specific world of professional sports, that's extremely important, because you got to hold people accountable for what they say and what they do. And when other athletes do that, I think that other athletes look and say, you know what, I see the mistake that I made and I got to do better.
Agreed. You look at the situation, I don't mean to harp on DeSean Jackson's situation, but Zach Bonner and Cam Hayward from Steelers, of course, what happened in Pittsburgh via the attack on the Tree of Life Synagogue, in that city that knew, you know, violence directed against Jews very painfully and very poignantly and very personally. And for them to reach out, it was particularly powerful. And then Julian Edelman being Jewish, you know, he appreciates the fact that, yes, it's important to speak out, condemn such language, but at the same time, what is it that we can do to improve the world of the circumstances? And I see that the Heat have done the right thing. Commissioner Silver suspended Myers Leonard for a week. He's been fined. And so, you know, that portion of addressing the misbehavior or the speech has been done, and hopefully lessons learned. You know, what can we do going forward, which in some ways is equally, if not more, important.
Yeah, we're talking to Steve Hunnings, Executive Director of the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas, here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. And you kind of stole my thunder there a little bit. Myers Leonard, he was fined $50,000, suspended for a week. But for me, it's not about the money. you know, these guys make a lot of money. It's not about me, you know, with the money, with the being the, you know, the massive consequence there. It's always about the next steps for the offender. So what is your reaction actually to the league's consequences for this?
You know, I think Commissioner Silver said all the right thing. The comment was inexcusable and hurtful, and such an offensive term has no place in the NBA and our society. And I'm glad he links it to greater society, too. That said, pro sports, all sports are a microcosm of our society. And can't be denied that trends that we see are oftentimes worrisome, whether it's racism or anti-Semitism and the like. You know, there's been more, I should say, more sort of unofficial condemnation of it, that is not condemnation, but condoning it over time, and that's another reason we have to address it. You know, all of that said, you know, what's the responsibility of professional sports and our franchises? You look around in our community, I like what I see with the Vikings. You know, the Vikings have worked very hard, the Wilf family in particular, given its story of the family story of the Holocaust. And I think about the Vikings taking some of their players and a leadership team and former players to both an African-American museum, the Smithsonian African-American Museum, and the Holocaust Museum in Washington, and how important that was for their team to address, you know, both of those issues and should demonstrate sensitivity towards the African-American story, towards the Jewish story. That's a great story. You know, the Twins, too, they've Thad Levine has been very outspoken about the lack of diversity within Major League Baseball and within the Twins, too, and, you know, trying to address those issues. And all those are, you know, extremely important today. You know, the Timberwolves have long appreciated African-American history, so I think we have to make sure that we know that our professional sports teams are very responsible and take accountability very seriously.
You know, I'll be honest with you, Steve. I don't know much about this slur or its usage. From what you know and from maybe an origin perspective, how did the use of this, we'll just say the K word, how did that come to be?
You know, it's interesting. I had to look it up. I think I forwarded you that article from the Forward, which is sort of the online Jewish newspaper. Originally was the Yiddish newspaper back, and just the different theories. Nobody seems to have a definitive answer to it. Interesting that people thought it might come from the fact that when immigrants were passing through, Jewish immigrants were passing through Ellis Island, and they were illiterate, and they had a mark, something to represent their signature, that they resisted using like something that looked like a cross, but instead used a circle, and the Yiddish word, German word is kichel, and that somehow was translated to kike. But, you know, people don't necessarily believe that's the case. Whatever it is, it's taken on a negative far, you know, beyond negative color to it, the term, and negative aspirations that are insinuations as associated with it. So I think, in a way, it's not good, it's bad, it's probably one notch below the N-word in terms of awfulness. You know, both are bad. It's hard to create a hierarchy for these things. You know, to me, the N-word is the worst, and, you know, the K-word is probably one, you know, half step below it. But in any event, you know, these are words that people should not use under any circumstances and are as derogatory as it comes.
And I'm glad that you forwarded me that information, and I took a glance at it and looked at it, and it was, you're right, like in that article, it wasn't definitive about, well, you know, we know that it originated from here. It's kind of up in the air, but, you know, it's not good. It's not something that's appropriate. It's not something that anybody should be using. But a lot of times in society, we don't always hear a lot of different terms. So when I saw that, it kind of piqued my interest. I'm like, I don't even know what this is all about. We're talking to Steve Hunnings, Executive Director for the Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas, here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. And, you know, we're living in a society right now where more than I guess maybe in my lifetime, we've talked about just the fact that there's so much that's been going on in the country that's been negative, and we want to get into a better place. There's been a lot of protests, a lot of people talking about racism in our country, a lot of bigotry that's been promoted here the last several years. How has it been in the Jewish community trying to educate and fight against slurs like this and just overall religious discrimination?
A great question. You know, that we could go on at length about it. One piece I want to note, because you mentioned it, and, you know, I often work in this vein or speak in this vein, is sort of the need for optimism, or at least things with which we can rally. You know, next year, Henry, will be the 75th anniversary on April 15th of Jackie Robinson breaking the color line in Major League Baseball. Let's keep that in mind, because I assume, and we should all participate, that will be a red letter moment in American history, the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson playing his first game at Ebbets Field against the Boston Braves.
We'll definitely get into that because I'm good friends with Bob Kendrick, who's the president of the Negro League Baseball Museum, and Jackie Robinson has a friend, a local guy by the name of Ron Rabinovich, who actually wrote a book about Jackie.
Yeah, he's a great guy, and it's just an amazing story. Ron living in Milwaukee and becoming a pen pal of Jackie Robinson, 100% there. It was a digression, but it's something I have to express. You know, another little piece there, and again, I'm off topic and off your question, is that you know, about a week later when he was in Philadelphia, Jackie Robinson was subject to this incredible abuse, and Ben Chapman was the manager of the Phillies, and he's a Southerner, and it was some of the worst attacks upon him that he faced there. You know, a year later, Hubert Humphrey goes to Philadelphia for the Democratic Convention and gives one of his most famous speeches, his Bright Sunshine speech, when he says that time for the Democratic Party to, you know, move out of the shadow of states' rights and march forthrightly in the bright sunshine of human rights. So just a year later in Philadelphia, what a contrast between Ben Chapman and the Phillies and their insulting of Jackie Robinson, and far worse, and the Humphrey speech, which was in connection with the Democrat Civil Rights Platform, which is one of the great moments in American history. So just something to think about as we talk about the 75th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color line. Something about the American Jewish experience right now. In some ways, there has never been a better time to be an American Jew than there is in 2021 or practically in all history of the world. I mean, this country has been so welcoming and so wonderful to the Jewish community, and it's been a beautiful reciprocal relationship over the years. And by some measures, anti-Semitism is at an all-time low. The Anti-Defamation League polls year over year on anti-Semitic attitudes, and the numbers are 10, 11, 12% composite. But of course, that still means millions of people harbor anti-Semitic attitudes. You know, on a couple of the questions they ask, 30%, you know, that's a very significant number. But without getting into that, you can safely say that in the main, the American Jewish experience, particularly in now, 2021, is something that's remarkable. You know, that said, you might want to say, we have these spasms of violence directed against Jews in this country, and we've gone through a cycle in the past couple of years, which has been, in ways, more awful than anything we've ever seen before. The attacks on the synagogue in San Diego, Pittsburgh, as we discussed. Other places have been particularly violent and bloody. And, you know, we can talk about the reasons for it and the like, but suffice it to say, it's something of deep concern in the JCRCR organization with our responsibility for community security. It's certainly been an important item on our community agenda. So you have a little combination of both, Henry. You have, in some ways, the times have never been better for Jews in the United States than they are now, but there's also been warning signs in danger simultaneously. And so both thoughts can occupy us at the same time.
All right. I got to ask you before I let you go. And this is totally off topic. This is a sports question for you because
I love sports questions, by the way, Henry.
Well, I hear that you're a Gopher fan. I hear that you're a massive sports fan, and maybe you have some thoughts on Gopher basketball. Now, today they didn't get the win, but they lost to Ohio State earlier today in the Big Ten tournament. But your thoughts on the possibility of them acquiring a new coach?
They played with great heart. They played great heart both games. They didn't look very well yesterday. I mean, it was kind of a distressing game from the vantage point of the purist for college basketball against Northwestern, but they pulled out the win. Today, particularly down the stretch, they were good. Outscored Ohio State 18-5. They just fell behind too long. That there were a couple of calls that went against them or non-calls that weren't made. They really hurt them down the stretch. Nevertheless, Ohio State's clearly the better basketball team, and they deservedly won the game. I always liked Coach Pitino as a person. You know, I sat in the third row behind the basket, and he was always a very personable guy, and chat with him even during the game sometimes and say something, and he'd laugh and chat back. So he was someone that struck me as very approachable. I never knew him, but obviously the record speaks for itself, 40 games below 500 in the Big Ten. So many of our leading basketball players from Minnesota not committing to the university, which, of course, is a troublesome sign. It's probably time to move on. There were some highlights and great wins over the years during the Pitino time, but I think progress has to be made. And the athletic director, if the PJ Fleck hiring is any clue, is more than up to the challenge. Be interesting to see who they hire. I hope they take a close look at someone who's African-American. I think Star Tribune pointed out in a story earlier in the week that there's very little diversity amongst the higher ranks of the university athletic department. I think they'll have some good candidates, and I hope that they'll choose the best possible coach, but I think they should be looking to the degree that it's to the degree that it's possible towards an African-American candidate for the head coaching position at the university. What do you think, Henry?
I know that there is some interest in a couple of coaches that have jobs, one on the West Coast, one in the South, and it's going to come down, I think, personally, to money. Money and potential buyouts. I think that there is one candidate that – this is the type of position when you're a Power 5 institution, is specifically in the Big Ten, you can't wait for a coach. You can't wait months. And, you know, I think that people that want, whether it's an Eric Musselman or Brian Dutcher, those are great names. I love them both. And Nico Medved, I love him too, and I'm good friends with Nico. I would, if I was a Gopher fan, the trail that I would look down is what is the buyout situation for those type of coaches? Because the impact of, you know, losing, you know, remember they cut the sports and now we're in a situation where, you know, people are griping about, well, now you're going to buy this guy out for $1.75 million. Well, it's one of your top two, you know, revenue generators. Football and basketball are just different. We can sit here and we can love all the other sports, and we do, but it's just different with football and basketball. You have to have those programs be successful. So at this particular point in time, I'm with you. You have to move on. It's been 8 years, and I actually think that they have some good candidates that they're looking at right now.
Yeah, and I think that given that all sports due to the pandemic are in flux, college sports and free transferring and year of eligibility, the coach should be able to come in. And, you know, there's some talent on the team, too, and hopefully not hit rock bottom that first year. But the conference is massively tough, and yep. You know, on young coaches, it's really difficult. I'll just say, as a point of personal privilege, I've been going to the game since 1970. My dad started taking me actually the year before Bill Musselman came, when George Hansen was the coach for 1 year on an interim basis. Of course, he had Jim Brewer when Bill Musselman came in. So the excitement that was generated by 71-72 when they won the Big Ten championship, through about 99, when unfortunately we had the end of Clem Haskins' time with the difficulties with the scandal, that place was rocking for 27 years, Williams Arena, through good years and bad years and the like. That's what we've lost in the last almost generation, is we've had three coaches that haven't succeeded all that much. And it's sad. I tell people it's almost back to where we were when I started going the first year when I was a little boy, third grade, second grade, whatever year it was. We had about 5,000 or 6,000 fans a game, and that was about it. The Marquette game, I remember as a little guy, was the only one that drew any sort of decent-sized crowd that year. So we need a coach to ignite some excitement, Henry.
I'm with you. That's the voice of Steve Hunnings, Executive Director, Jewish Community Relations Council of Minnesota and the Dakotas, here on Late Night News Talk 830 WCCO. Hey, Steve, always a pleasure to chat with you. Thanks for coming on the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, Henry, for having me, and thanks for all your great work and for emphasizing these important issues.
Thank you so much.
Take care.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.